We are in a study of the I Am's of Jesus. And right now we're looking at the statement he made to Martha, also the statement in John 14, I am the resurrection. John 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 11, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. So we're dealing with the resurrection, with the resurrection. And I've been fairly bold with this. I would say fairly, I've been bold with these statements. Jesus said that he himself is the resurrection. That's what he said. Jesus said unto Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, you can read this and you can say, well, people are dying every day, so someday there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. And for much of my younger days, I probably believed that, that someday out in the future, there is a resurrection of the dead. However, as I begin to study the Word and hear the Spirit of God, I begin to see that Jesus is the resurrection of the dead. That, as we've looked at for the last few weeks, in Adam all died. In Christ, all are made alive in each in their own order. So those that come into Christ are raised up out of Adam's death into Christ's life. And we could probably just stop right there and say that's the resurrection. Well, there's a lot to that because it's defined in the person of Jesus Christ. But that is the resurrection, coming out of the old man and into the new man. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. There's so many things in my mind, but before I start sharing them with you, I do want to read another scripture in the book of John, and then we're going to go to the book of Job. But John chapter 8, John chapter 8, verse 23. And he said to them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. So you're from beneath, I'm from above. I want you to hang on that in this study as we begin to look at Christ or continue to look at Christ as the resurrection. He is from above, and Jesus was saying to the Jews in John 8, you are from beneath. And if you don't believe on me, he goes on to say, you will die in your sins. You can't come to where he's at, but through the grace, might, and power of him. So let's travel back to Job 14. Job 14, 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. So we have man born of woman. Man born of woman. Verse 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change comes. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Job 7. Job 7, verse 1. Is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling, as a servant earnestly desiring the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity, and wearisome the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is when my eye shall no more see good. So there's appointed time of the natural man. He's got an appointed time in the earth. We can study the Bible and we can see the natural man's appointed time. But I want to draw our mind back to what Jesus said. He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Shall never die. And I want to draw our mind to what Job says. He's waiting till his change comes. All right, John 3 and verse 3. John 3 and verse 3 says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. If a man is born again, Jesus said, this man can see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. You could say, here's Job's change. Listen to me. Listen to me. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. To the man that is born of flesh, he's a few days. That's what the Bible says, a few days. Job says, full of trouble. But if I've been born again, am I a few days and full of trouble? Is that what I apply to myself and to other believers, that I'm just a few days and full of trouble? I think the answer is no. I think we do that, but the answer is we shouldn't do that. Because now we're born of spirit. And that of spirit, what's applied to those that are born of spirit is not a few days and full of trouble, but what's applied to them is Christ. That's what's applied. He's not a few days and full of trouble. He's eternal. So how we get eternal life, how we get resurrection is he lives in us. And he brings us from the man that's a few days and full of trouble into the eternal one. That's what he does. So he that believeth in him shall never die. What? How can he die? Because he's alive. We've been raised out of the death of Adam into the life that's Christ. To me, this is in simplicity the resurrection. My life has no end because my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. See, the issue is we believe our life is our physical bodies. When our physical bodies pass, we believe our life passes. And to the natural, that may be so, but not to the spirit. Not to the spirit. And when you're born of spirit, you are born into the resurrection. Before I move on in this, I want you to turn, if you follow me, to Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. And I want to hold the thought, you're born of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's your new birth. It's his resurrection from the dead. But in Hebrews 2, the Bible reads, let me find the verse. It says in verse 14, For as much then, as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He delivered us from the power of death. How did he do that? Says he partook of flesh and blood, and through his death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. The devil no longer has power over you. Christ does. So when the devil come to Eve and told her to eat of this and she'd be like God, and of course that's when death passed upon them. Now Christ has come to us, and if we've eaten of him, we're in life. So he's destroyed the power of death. He's delivered us through who were afraid of death, and we were all the time subject to bondage. See, we were all time subject, I believe, even to this natural body, that our life was found in the natural. But now that we have received Christ, we have eternal life. Right now. Not in the future, right now. He that is in you is the eternal life. If Christ is in you, that's your life. It's your life now, and it's your life through eternity. Glory to God. And that's what you're raised up in, is him. Raised out of the old man into the new man by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Flip over to the book of Peter. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Not subject to bondage, but to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Here's how we're born again to a living hope: through his resurrection. Because he was raised out from among the dead. And I'm not talking about just dead bodies. He was raised out from the dead man, the man that was the carnal man. So in him, we are raised out from that man. And the Apostle Paul says we're a new creation, created of God in Christ Jesus. So we're raised out from that old man through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, being born again by living hope. See this new birth. I don't know that we really get a hold of how powerful it is that we've been born from above. Remember, I said to hold on to that in the beginning, that he is from above. And he said to the Jews that they are from beneath. And so were you and I. When we were born from our mom and dad, we were from beneath. We were of the earth. We were earthy. But now, being born again, we're out of God. We've come through Christ Jesus, the Lord, into eternal life. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And Peter goes on to write here in verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled, and will not fade away. And we're going to look at that in a moment in Ephesians 1. Reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And honey, that's Christ being revealed in you. That's the salvation that was ready to be revealed in the last time, is Christ Jesus the Lord. That was hid from ages and generations, but it was now made manifest in Peter and Paul's day. Glory to God. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So, 1 Peter 1:18. And then I'm going to back up again to this inheritance, verse 4. But 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he who has foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last days for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. So my faith and hope is not in myself. It's not in mortal man. It's in God. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For ye have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable. So what we've been born again is not perishable. Hear that. But imperishable. That is through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, man born of woman. And its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and flower falls off. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. So the word of the Lord is eternal. What we've been born of is an imperishable seed of God. It's imperishable. So if we've been born of that seed that's imperishable, can we believe that we may be imperishable through him? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Now, I said to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. Well, we're born of a seed that's imperishable. Our inheritance is imperishable. How about our inheritance being Christ? See in the resurrection, maybe he's our inheritance. Well, let's see what Paul writes in Ephesians 1 concerning this. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Remember, I said, remember that which is above. He said, I am from above. Well, Paul says you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing, not you're going to be. You know, for years or for a period of time, I would go to what I call going to church to receive a blessing. Not hearing by the Spirit of God, or not even understanding the Word of God had said, the Bible I read, that I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. To me, right here's the spiritual blessings. You're holy, you're blameless, you're before him, and you're in his love. Hallelujah, that's a blessing, honey. That's a blessing. We think getting a new car is a blessing. This is a blessing. Holy, undefiled, blameless, in love, in his love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. And I probably said this before on the teaching, but this word adoption is dealing with the placing of a son. So we're predestined to be sons through Jesus Christ unto God, according to the purpose of his will. This is according to his purpose and his will. To the praise of his glorious grace with which he hath blessed us in the beloved. My, what a grace that we're blessed in the beloved. Not just the forgiveness of sins, but the blessing in Christ. Blessed us in the beloved. Hallelujah. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and all insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ. So he set forth his purpose, his will in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of times, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Here's this inheritance, this imperishable inheritance that we read of in 1 Peter. In him we have obtained an inheritance. Here's our inheritance. It's in him. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So all the working of God that he was doing in Christ was to bring many sons to glory, you could say, was that Christ would be glorified in a people. So he predestined it according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. To the purchased possession, another translation says. What God purchased us for was this that's in Christ. And the guarantee of that is the Holy Spirit in our heart till we come, till we, so to speak, arrive, till we come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man. See, our inheritance that's incorruptible, unperishable, is this reality of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, that we would know his person, that his life would be in us. We wouldn't just say Christ is in us, but we would know the Christ that is in us. We would know him. We would know his nature. We would express it to one another. I was thinking today, I believe, of some of the great experiences I've had in my life with God, of how he's made himself real to me through these experiences. And I was considering that in my heart, and it would just come before me. Just come up before me. What if it was just a reality to live in him? As great as the experiences are, and I believe in experiences with God, I absolutely believe in them. I've absolutely had them. I love them. I love his precious presence. But that's really what come before me. What if this just become the reality of my being, that I'm in Christ? That I'm in Christ. And my being would be the expression of him, even in the earth. Now, to me, that's a resurrection from the dead. Because that old man couldn't express Christ Jesus. He couldn't speak of the things above. He didn't have the mind of Christ. He didn't know the things of God. See, that's resurrection. You can know the things of God. In Adam, you didn't know them. In the old man, you had no concept of them. But now by the Spirit of God, God is revealing that of Christ in you, that you can know it. Or know him and expressing in those measures of him that's made real. I wrote a note here. God chose us in the resurrection, chose us in Christ. He is the resurrection. So when you see that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that's the resurrection from the dead. Before the world was, he chose us in the resurrection. He chose us in Christ, that we would be holy and blameless before him. See, that's a comprehension of him, because he's holy and blameless. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I wrote another note. You know, I spoke about the change coming. Holy and blameless before him in love. Is this a change? If you walked in a reality that you're holy, you're blameless, and you're in God's love, would that be a change? If I walk in Christ, that's what Paul says is in Christ. I'll go on to Ephesians 2:1. And here we go back to you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that it is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. Once lived. Not anymore. We used to live there, but we don't live there anymore. Used to, but not anymore. See, I'm believing that, folks. Carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So this is what mankind is, children of wrath. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Here's the resurrection. Quickened with him. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Here's the above. I am from above. You must be born from above. You must be born again, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And this to me is just powerful. We are quickened with him, by him, through him, in him, raised together. That means this word together is dealing with as one in union. So our union in resurrection is Christ. Our union in being quickened is Christ. Our union in being seated is Christ. No wonder Paul says in chapter 3 that we are to walk the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height. Oh, glory to God. See, this is what's before us, folks. It's what he is. What's before you and I is him in his fullness. This is the resurrection. Hallelujah. This is our change. This is the change the Apostle Paul dealt with in 1 Corinthians 15. Some men will say, how are the dead raised? And what body do they come? Well, we came out the body of Adam. We exhibited in our flesh Adam. We were the manifestation in the natural in Adam. But in the new birth, we're no longer Adam's body. We're the body of Christ. We are, Paul says, the body of Christ. We bore the image of the earthy, and that's what Ephesians 2 is talking about. In time past, we walked according to the course of this world. And then Paul says, and we shall bear the image of the heavenly. That's the heavenly Christ Jesus, the heavenly one, in whom is no guilt, in whom is no shame. in whom is perfection, in whom is the glory of God. That's what he's saying we're bearing. This isn't a future gospel that people are looking someday to bear God's glory. This is God's glory in them. This is God revealing his Son in you, that in your mortal bodies, you would declare him in the earth. You and I are in participation with the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Hallelujah. That's why he had to go away and why the Spirit had to come, so it could bring us into this glorious union, into this resurrection from the dead. Yes, he is this resurrection. And we are raised in him. Excuse me. Seated in him. In the heavenly Christ Jesus. Well, may God open our minds, our eyes, our hearts to everything of Christ. Let us hear him and see him by the Spirit of God. May God richly bless your hearts. Amen.